Hello and welcome to the next episode. You're listening to Security Experience Podcast and I'm your host, Nikolaos. And we are going to talk about Facebook. In this podcast, I will talk about 50 types of data that Facebook is collecting from you, sometimes without you even knowing it. I will discuss the wrong practices that this company has been conducting since its very foundation and how these activities affect privacy of 2.2 billion people around the world. Stay tuned for the experience. Facebook. The uncontrollable machine with only desire to get its hands on following data, available storage space, background applications, battery level, beacons, Bluetooth signals, browser type, browser history, calls, camera, cell towers, contacts, cookies, data usage, device IDs, device operations, device signals, devices, dislikes, DNS, family, files on your devices and their types, foreground applications, friends, friends of your friends, and friends of your friends' friends, if that makes sense, GPS location, hardware and software versions, identifiers from games and apps you use, identifiers from other accounts you use, installed applications, internet behaviors, IP addresses, likes, location, messages, metadata, mouse movements, nearby Wi-Fi access points, network connectivity, operating system, personal interests, photos, plugins, purchase history, relationship, signal strengths, SMS, unique identifiers, voice, work history, and more. That was quite a list, wasn't it? And that's only the tip of the iceberg. Imagine how much power you would have over me and my future decisions if you had been collecting this data for past 10 years, without clearly informing me about it. Meaning that you would be snooping on me during my normal personal life. Because I am not changing my behavior to avoid your eyes and ears. I consider that you are a trustworthy person, since I am not aware of how far you can go. And I assume that you would at least act in legal terms and good faith. With this kind of data, you could conduct an analytical research about my behaviors. I bet your chances of guessing where I would be tomorrow, what movie I would watch, and what restaurant I would most likely visit would increase dramatically. With this information, you would be able to successfully sell me a product, make me watch a movie trailer that I might like, and even influence me to visit a restaurant nearby, which is serving a great pasta. Because you know from my pictures and messages that I love pasta. I think you could even go a little bit further and make some extra money by selling this information to other persons or companies who might be interested in selling me something. So you will still retain data, but would provide access to other parties and the data would be always up to date and fresh to sell. Let's say you provide access to my 50 types of data, which is probably a significant amount of my personal life, for 10 euros per month for an individual subscription. I can already imagine the advertisement. Fresh bits of Nicholas' personal life, only for 10 euros. Sounds nice, right? But let's be frank, 10 euros will probably buy you what? 3 copies at maximum? 3 copies will not pay your bills, but what if there were like 100 companies and persons who would want to sell me something or want to affect my behavior or just had a fetish of stalking me every second? What if there were thousands of them? Would you allow 1,000 persons and companies to access my personal life without you explicitly notifying me? Of course you would. I'm a sheep to you who has been spied on for over a decade without even doubting in your services. What could go wrong? I will not suddenly become a wolf now, will I? And with that in mind, you start making around 10,000 euros per month. Not shabby, not too shabby at all. So you have a business model that brings you significant monthly income, but something is really bugging you, something is missing. You have limited number of customers and 10,000 euros is not enough for you anymore. Because I might not be a good target for a fish restaurant, because I love pasta, you remember? You're missing an opportunity to make 10,000 euros extra. Now you're getting a brilliant idea. You know, I am messaging my friend John constantly, and he loves fish. All the thing he talks about is fish, fried fish. He called me last week to mention the great fish soup he ate at the restaurant, and since you monitor my calls, I guess you are already aware about it. Maybe fish restaurant is not interested in Nicholas, but it would be surely interested in John, you think. So you start spying on John as well. You gather data, combine it with 10 years of calls, messages, and pictures of me with John, and voila! You can now sell John's data to fish restaurant to make 10,000 euros more. With this success, you could lay a road to building a multi-million euro empire. Or even a multi-billion one. Good job! You are a smart guy or a girl who realized the American dream. Congrats! But what if I was the one in control and you were my product? I was the one having all this information for over a decade and was making money out of you. While you are just using my free services, what if I was advertising freshly bits of your personal life only for 10 euros? I would be spying on your calls, seeing where you are located, what plans do you have, listening to when you speak, even if you were not actively using my service. I would be providing real-time access to this data to thousands of companies and individuals. Some of them with just intentions to sell you something, offer you products and services, and others to influence your decisions, behaviors, and just cyberstalk you. What if I was conducting same operations on your kids, family members, friends, and their friends without you even realizing it? Would you still use my service? I think you would, because you have been comfortable using my services for free for last decade. Everyone else you know is using same services for communication and various other purposes. Because you were the one telling your friends how awesome my service was, and you would be afraid to lose this integrity. You would be afraid to make an independent decision to quit, and I would be victorious. And you would be the same old user that you were 10 years ago, represented as an ID in my database. That, dear listeners, is why hardly any user has deleted their Facebook accounts after Cambridge Analytica incident, and why Facebook is back to pre-Cambridge Analytica scandal stock prices as of May 10 and still rising. Well, even hashtag delete Facebook campaign didn't help. I will not dive deep into Cambridge Analytica today, because I guess most of you should be familiar with the story, so I will just do a brief recap. So back in March 2018, multiple media outlets broke news of Cambridge Analytica's business practices. The personal data of approximately 87 million Facebook users were acquired via 270,000 Facebook users who used a Facebook application called This Is Your Digital Life. So Facebook gives this third-party application permission to acquire their data back in 2015. So this also gave the application access to the information on users' friends network. So this resulted in data of about 87 million users, and the majority of whom had not explicitly given Cambridge Analytica any permissions to access their data. Later, the data was allegedly used by Trump campaign advisors to influence elections, and at that time Facebook stated that it already cut off third-party access to its users' data and that their friends as well back in May 2015. So later, CEO of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, went on a brand new apology spree saying, traditional, we are sorry. He went to Capitol Hill testimony with it, and also during his appearance in European Parliament. But was he really sorry about it? Is Facebook doing anything substantial to improve users' control over their data and the life that they are sharing with this service? Has anything changed to better during last years? I guess nothing. Only thing that changed is that Facebook widened its arsenal for getting even more data from you, and they are actively innovating in this sphere. But about this we'll talk later. Let's talk about latest developments from Facebook. It will allow us to understand how Privacy Monster has improved since March of 2018. Between May 18th and May 22nd of this year, about 14 million Facebook users around the world had their default sharing settings for all new posts set to public. So Facebook posts typically default to the last audience a post was shared with, such as family members, friends, or friends with the exception of their bosses. But this bug exposed all posts between this period to public, means that everyone could search and find these posts, even if they were considered private. So it's interesting how exposing private posts of 14 million people was considered just as a bug, but not a privacy violation. You probably remember how Facebook stopped letting other companies access your friends' data back in 2015, right? That's what they said in March as well. But the Wall Street Journal reported back in June that Facebook cut special deals with some companies that let them continue to access data on its users and their friends. So companies also included Amazon, Apple, Microsoft, Samsung, Huawei, ZTE, BlackBerry, and many other personal data-hungry players. On June 22nd, Facebook admitted that roughly 3% of apps on Facebook Analytics had their weekly summary information leaked to outsiders. So these reports contain three metrics about the application, and it contains the number of new users, weekly active users, and page views. And apparently they were mistakenly sent to people identified as testers. Also, a different third-party quiz application called NameTests found exposing data of up to 120 million Facebook users to anyone who happened to find it. An ethical hacker revealed by the end of the June. So NameTests.com, the website behind popular social quizzes like Which Disney Princess Are You? I don't know why people even use it, has around 120 million monthly users, and it uses Facebook's application platform to offer a fast way to sign up. You remember this Facebook sign up button, right? So a bug bounty hunter and ethical hacker found out that this popular quiz website was leaking logged in users' detail to other websites that were opened in the same browser, allowing any malicious website to obtain this kind of data very easily. So in general, what happened is that apparently storing user data in JavaScript file caused the website to leak data to other websites, which in otherwise is not possible due to browsers course or cross-origin resource sharing policies that prevents a website from reading the content of all other websites without their explicit permissions. So this was kind of a bug in a nametest.com website itself. To get back to the Facebook, so in the beginning of July, Facebook again has admitted that the company gave dozens of tech companies and app developers special access to its users' data after publicly saying it had restricted outside companies to access such data back in 2015. This is clearly stated in a 700-page-long document delivered to Congress by the end of June, where Facebook admitted that it continued sharing data with 61 hardware and software makers as well as application developers after 2015 as well. So apparently Facebook has lied to Congress, to European Parliament and to its customers multiple times. On July 2nd, the federal investigation into data mining firm Cambridge Analytica and its relationship to Facebook has been expanded to include an examination of the social network itself. So apparently, investigators want to know whether members of the social network lied to lawmakers, the public, and investors about the massive data privacy scandal that broke up back in March. So separately, Facebook remains under investigation also by the Federal Trade Commission over its privacy practices and whether the social network violated the agency's consent decree, which Facebook signed in 2011. As this was not enough to uncover Facebook's hypocrisy, again on July 2nd, Facebook disclosed a new bug on Monday that temporarily let some users who had been blocked on the service to send messages to the people who had blocked them. So the bug also let some previously blocked users to view posts that were shared to a wider audience, such as publicly or with friends of friends. Surprisingly, after all these events, Facebook dares to publish a full page advertisement on a major newspapers such as the Telegraph of the United Kingdom, for example, where they said that data misuse is not our friend. Facebook is changing. Even if Facebook was interested in protecting your personal life, which they are obviously not, the developers and third parties will not take similar precautions or responsibility to do so. And imagine all the third-party applications that your children, friends, and family members are using. Even if you do not sign up for such applications, their activities will directly impact your personal data and your personal life. Let me remind you about an automatic facial recognition feature that compares newly uploaded photographs to those of the uploader's Facebook friends, in order to suggest photo tags, giving an invasive ability to Facebook for discovering people via your photos even without tagging them. Tracking of non-members of Facebook via tracking cookies. 63% of Facebook profiles which are automatically set to be visible publicly, meaning that anyone can access their profiles that users have updated. It is even affecting families all around the world. So, according to a 2009 survey in the UK, around 20% of divorce petitions included some kind of reference to Facebook. Do not forget daily brainwashing with fake news and a large number of censorships that were set out by Facebook on various occasions. So apparently, Facebook has a policy to censor anything related to Kurdish opposition against Turkey, such as maps of Kurdistan and flags of opposition parties such as PKK and YPG. And also, in another case, in 2015, Facebook started to automatically ban accounts that use the word Moscow, which may be seen offensive by some Russian individuals. However, use of similar words such as Khokhol, which are widely used by Russian nationalists against Ukrainians, were not prosecuted. In September 2016, a Norwegian newspaper has published an open letter to Zuckerberg after banning Napalm Girl, a Pulitzer Prize-winning documentary photograph from the Vietnam War made by Nick Ut. Half of the ministers in the Norwegian government shared this famous photo on their Facebook pages, and among them the Prime Minister Erna Solberg from the Conservative Party. But after only a few hours, several of the Facebook posts, including the Prime Minister's post, were deleted by Facebook. Now, some of you might ask, what about Google? What about the Gmail news last week, where third parties were able to access and read users' emails? Why are not you talking about it and blaming on Facebook? Okay, you asked for it. So in the last week, the Wall Street Journal reported that third-party application developers can read the emails of millions of Gmail users. Gmail's access settings allows data companies and application developers to see people's emails and view private details, including recipient addresses, timestamps, and the entire messages. And while those applications do not receive user consent, the consent form is not exactly clear that it would allow humans and not just computers to read your emails. Well, this was a content from a Wall Street Journal, and many of my connections on LinkedIn were very worryingly sharing the news on their feed, claiming that Google has betrayed their trust, and some of them even were announcing to close their Google accounts, specifically Gmail. So there are two key points in this story, in my opinion. First, if you have ever used Gmail, like ever, and tried integrating it with other applications, you might have noticed that every single application explicitly asks for your permission and states that this application is going to read your emails and asks if you accept it very, very clearly. So if you decline, then the application will not be integrated and you are safe. Otherwise, the permissions are given. For example, if you have ever used a service like Unroll.me, an application which unsubscribes you from desired emails, then you are going to want to review a list of applications that you have granted permissions to read your emails. So I mentioned that you would be safe if you declined application access, but with that I meant that third-party application will not read your emails, but Google is always reading your emails, and that's how they are developing the new AI features by snooping on your emails and activities. Well, have a look at Inbox application as an example. Second point that I want to emphasize is that I am not defending Google in any way. Quite opposite. I think that thanks to Google Search, Google Analytics, Android, and various and the vast majority of services and applications that Google is offering, Google might be even a bigger personal data monster and privacy monster than Facebook. Now, let's have a look at how truly Facebook is changing. So, in the end of June, Facebook has filed to patent a system that can remotely activate the microphone on someone's phone using inaudible signals broadcasted via television. So the patent application describes a system where an audio fingerprint embedded into the TV shows or, let's say, ads, which are inaudible to human ears, would trigger the phone, tablet, or a long-rumored smart speaker, which will come probably from Facebook, to turn on the microphone and start recording this ambient audio of the content item. So the recording could then be matched to a database of content to allow Facebook to identify what the individual was watching, like Shazam or for TV, but without the individual choosing to activate the system. So a review of hundreds of Facebook patent applications conducted by New York Times reveals that the company has considered tracking almost every aspect of its users' lives, where you are, who you spend time with, where whether you are in a romantic relationship, which brands and politicians you are talking about. One of them even describes using forward-facing cameras to analyze your expressions and detect whether you are bored or surprised by what you see on your feed. Facebook has said repeatedly that these patent applications should not be taken as indications of future product plans, but let's have a look at this recent article from the New York Times, and most importantly at 7 patents from Facebook. So, number 1. Reading your relationships. One patent application discusses predicting whether you are in a romantic relationship using information such as how many times you visit another user's page, the number of people in your profile picture, and the percentage of friends of a different gender. Number 2. Classifying your personality. Another patent proposes using your posts and messages to infer personality traits. So it describes judging your degree of extroversion, openness, and emotional stability, then using those characteristics to select which news stories or ads to display. Number 3. Predicting your future. So this patent application describes using your posts and messages in addition to your credit card transactions and locations to predict when a major life event such as birth, death, or graduation is likely to occur. Number 4. Identifying your camera. Another considers analyzing pictures to create a unique camera signature using faulty pixels or lens scratches. That signature could be used to figure out that you know someone who uploads pictures taken on your device even if you weren't previously connected. Or it might be used to guess the affinity between you and a friend based on how frequently you use the same camera. Number 5. Listening to your environment. This patent application explores using your phone microphone to identify the television shows you watched and whether ads were muted. It also proposes using the electrical interference pattern created by your television power cable to guess which show is playing. Number 6. Tracking your routine. Another patent application discusses tracking your weekly routine and sending notifications to other users of deviations from this routine. In addition, it describes using your phone's location in the middle of the night to establish where you live. Number 7. Inferring your habits. This patent proposes correlating the location of your phone to locations of your friends' phones to deduce whom you socialize with most often. It also proposes monitoring when your phone is stationary to track how many hours you sleep. Now, these patents might never go live in Facebook services or applications, but it definitely provides us with a good idea of how this company is thinking and how they want to spy on you in ways that you might never expect. After all, 99% of Facebook's revenue comes from advertisement, and all they need to be focused is to gather more and more data and innovate new ways for doing this. Clearly, Facebook has become a heavily biased censorship machine that does not comply with laws, good faith, privacy, and especially users' expectations. It is a non-regulated data monitoring beast that forms your thoughts the way it feels right and manipulates your opinions with the help of technology and AI. A company that operates personal data of 2.2 billion monthly users, roughly a third of the world population, a company that has severely breached users' privacy countless times, a privacy monster that is famous for its experiments on its user behaviors, and who is very, very sorry for manipulating you and lying to you every time it had an opportunity. A company that allegedly decides who you vote for and promises to improve on every now and then. A company that had 7 severe incidents of exposure of their users' personal data and personal lives in past 4 months only. Surprisingly, people are still using it. For some users, quitting social networking sites has become comparable to quitting smoking or giving up on alcohol. People are addicted to free services while not realizing that they have been a product for all along. They were by themselves selling their own rights to privacy and the rights of their friends, family, and children for free. They are manipulated into making choices as decided by the software in the cloud.